favor to provide exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or think. I'm going to encourage you this morning, just trust my Savior. Just trust Jesus. Because if you got Jesus, you got everything.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the first part of Pastor Brian Grant's second message taken from the trilogy of Psalm 22, 23, and 24, and the topic Pastor Grant will start to develop this evening is how this great shepherd, so beautifully and so personally pictured in Psalm 23, cares. So if you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn to this familiar psalm attributed to the shepherd King David, Psalm 23, and listen along with us as Pastor Grant draws from the text themes of the joy of knowing this good shepherd in a deeply personal way. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of his message, The Great Shepherd Cares.
A Sunday school teacher asked her class if any of them could recite the entire 23rd Psalm. A little girl in the front, she raised her hand, and this teacher was a little skeptical because she was only 4.5 years old. She looked at the little girl and she said, "Are you sure you can recite the entire 23rd Psalm?" The little girl said, "Yes, I can." So she marched herself up to the podium and she bowed and she said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want." You know, she may have missed a verse or two, but I want you to know, my friend, she got what Psalm 23 is all about. Because, my friend, if we have Jesus, we have everything. I wonder if I have a witness here today who knows that if we have Jesus, we have everything. Last month, I started and I shared with you that Psalm 22 presents Jesus as the good shepherd who was crucified for us. And this morning, I want to talk to you from Psalm 23, which presents Jesus. Psalm 23 presents Jesus as the great shepherd who cares for us. And another time, I will talk about Jesus. Psalm 24, presenting Jesus as the chief shepherd who is coming for us. But this morning, Psalm 23, Jesus Christ, the great shepherd who cares for us. Just turn in your Bible to a New Testament scripture before we get busy in Psalm 23. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and we're going to take a look at verse 20 and 21. Hebrews 30, verse 20 and 21, and here's how it reads. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The great shepherd who cares for his sheep. This morning, as we look at Psalm 23, I want to just share with you four things about this great shepherd. Oh, there's more we could share, but that's all we have time. And I'm going to just try and squeeze in four things about our great shepherd who cares for his sheep. And somehow I seem to be getting a lot of feedback. But the first thing, our great shepherd provides satisfaction. Our great shepherd provides satisfaction. The psalm starts, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, this does not mean I'm going to get every single thing I want. Amen? But we're going to get everything we need. So don't go rushing out. Don't go rushing out and claiming that Rolls Royce just yet. Amen? Don't go rushing out and claiming that mansion on the main line just yet. You see, you might not get all you want, but God will provide all you need if He is your shepherd. That's why David could say in Psalm 37, verse 25, he said, I once was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen God's seed begging bread. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. There is satisfaction in Jesus. But the Lord not only satisfies our physical needs, He also, and this is where I want to focus for a minute, He also satisfies our emotional and our spiritual needs. In 1996, Billy Graham was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor, which is the highest medal awarded by the United States. And as Dr. Graham received that incredible Medal of Honor, he gave his acceptance speech. And in his acceptance speech, he referenced a visit he had made to one of the great college campuses in America. And he said, as he stood on the campus with the dean, he said to the dean, what is the greatest problem on campus? And he said, the dean answered him in just one word. The dean said, the biggest problem on campus is emptiness. And I'm suggesting to you that the problem of emptiness is still a major problem in our society. Last year, 1.5 million Americans tried to kill themselves. 1.5 million. 50,000 succeeded. Drug abuse, as we try to deal with the problem of emptiness, this inner emptiness, 75,000 Americans died from drugs last year. Listen, things are so bad. Cities like Philadelphia are trying to form what they call safe houses. And these safe houses are supposed to be places where you can come and shoot up on drugs in an environment that just in case you overdose, there's somebody there to help you. You see, our society, rather than dealing with the real problem, admitting the real problem, our society would rather build a safe house rather than coming to grips with the real problem that mankind has a problem. But I'm so glad that I have a Savior, and He's sweet, I know. Hallelujah. And my Savior, Jesus Christ, He saves, He keeps, and He satisfies, and He has filled my heart with joy, and I am not empty anymore. I wonder if I'm talking to somebody this morning who would be willing to admit. You see, we've tried all sorts of stuff. Some try alcohol. We try all sorts of stuff to dullen the emptiness in our soul. But I'm here to tell you this morning, my friend, until you find Jesus, you will never find true satisfaction in life. And young man, older man, young person, older person, it doesn't matter who you are. I trust that this morning you would come to find that our great shepherd can satisfy. This morning you could come to Jesus. He's reaching out to you, and Jesus can satisfy the longings of that empty soul. Some arguers said that Voltaire once said that inside every person there is a God-shaped vacuum that only Jesus Christ alone can fill. Whether that is true or not, I don't know. But what I know that there is this emptiness. This is, God made us for Himself. And until we come into a vital relationship with Jesus Christ, this emptiness will never truly be satisfied. But I'm so happy that our great shepherd provides satisfaction, not just physical satisfaction, but spiritual and emotional satisfaction as well. But secondly, our great shepherd also provides restoration. He provides restoration. Verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Did you know that sheep stray sometimes? And do you know that Christians stray sometimes? But aren't you glad that the great shepherd, our great shepherd cares for us, and he cares for even straying Christians? But restoration is not automatic. Put this in your notes. The pathway to restoration involves a confession. The pathway to restoration involves a confession. Now, I'm not suggesting that you confess to your iPhone. You say, Pastor, what in the world you're talking? Oh, you're not up to date. You didn't know that there is a confession application in the iStore. You can download a confession application. It's put out by the Catholic Church. And you can download it and you can confess your sin to the iPhone application. But the Pope has issued instructions that even if you download it and you confess, you still need to go and see a priest for absolution. But listen, I am going to suggest that you either confess your sin to the app on the iPhone or to the priest. I am suggesting that you confess your sin to God Almighty. Amen. Because here's what it reads in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. My Bible tells me in 1 John 1 9, if we confess our sins, what, help me somebody, he's what? He's faithful and he is just, what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from. Is that what it says? All? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that if we confess our sins, he will forgive us. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what is confession? Confession is an acknowledgement of sin to God with a decision to change. You see, just coming to God and say, God, I'm sorry I did it. Would you please forgive me? That's not going to work if while you're praying that prayer of confession, in the back of your brain, you're saying, I hope God doesn't see this, don't know what I'm thinking. I hope he don't know what I'm thinking, but tomorrow I intend to do even worse. But Jesus, please forgive me. But I intend to do worse. You ain't fooling God. That confession prayer was canceled out immediately. You see, when we come to God. Now, sometimes sin has us so entangled. Have you ever been there? The sin has you so entangled that you need help. And sometimes we need to come to God and say, God, I am so messed up. This thing has me so tangled up that unless you help me, I cannot come free. But oh God, I want to come your way. And I'm asking you by your mighty power that you will liberate me so I can serve you in freedom and in sincerity. Sometimes when we pray the prayer of confession, we need to beg for help to break free. And I tell you, when God hears that type of prayer, he will forgive us our sins. Have you truly confessed your sin, or are you playing a game? Have you come to God in true confession? Have you come to God? Have you come to the point in your life where you're willing to own up to God and say, God, I have messed up, I have sinned, and please forgive me? Have you come there yet?
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
You know, the church is full. Churches are full today of people who ain't living straight, but they haven't confessed their sin. But I'm so thankful that there is restoration for the Christian who is willing to say, I have sinned, and God, I want to change. Would you please forgive me? And I know that they're probably, I'm not the only one in the house who have done some stuff in their life that they're totally ashamed of what you have done. But by God's grace, you are forgiven. Am I the only one, or do I have a witness? Forgiven! And I don't keep digging it up. Sometimes we love going around and digging up all the stuff we have done. You don't need to dig up all the mess you have done. You can leave it under the blood, amen? Because if it's forgiven, leave it there. Now, sometimes you can use it because you're trying to help somebody else. But don't live a life where you're always living over, reliving what has been forgiven. And don't hang around people who always want to remind you of what you did 35 years ago. Because Jesus says, listen, if you confess, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But I need to speak to somebody this morning, because some Christians have a hard time believing that God has forgiven them. They struggle with accepting the fact that they have been restored by our great shepherd. But you know, it's good sometimes to reflect on what happened with Simon Peter, because you remember Simon Peter messed up really badly. You remember that night when Jesus was arrested, and how Simon Peter, you know, that everybody said, your accent has given you away. Simon, me? I hear your Jamaican accent. Oh, not the Jamaican accent. I don't know the man. He started cussing. He went back to his old time days. But aren't you glad God, the shepherd, pursued him? Aren't you glad the shepherd forgave him? Aren't you glad the shepherd restored him? And this same Simon Peter would become one of the great leaders of the early church. I'm so glad that there is restoration and that the shepherd restores. Roger Ellsworth once said that every child of God is in the grip of grace, mighty, unrelenting, stubborn, pursuing grace. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that our shepherd, he will pursue you with his grace? It is mighty. It is unrelenting. It is stubborn. I had to put that down for you because I thought how wonderful it is that we have this type of a shepherd, that no matter what we have done, he pursues us. And when we confess, this grace restores us. And so, my friend, this morning God is here and he's talking to somebody, because somebody needs to hear this word. God is saying to somebody here this morning, take me at my word. Believe me. I said, if you confess, I will restore. And God is saying, listen, enjoy the benefits of forgiveness. Cheryl and I, we were in the Cotswolds. And you know, sometimes God takes you places just to give you one illustration. And I'll never forget the visit we made to the Cotswolds in England. We were in the English countryside. And some of you know I'm a town boy, never lived in the country. But this particular place, when we arrived at our hotel, the only thing there to greet us were sheep and some cows. And the cows came right up to the fence and looked at us as I was emptying the car. And I didn't realize the full experience that was there ahead of us. The next day, as we took a walk, we were walking in the countryside. And at the bottom of one hill, there were some sheep in a pasture. And they were raising Cain. It was bedlam. Poor little boy, I like me, little town city boy, not exposed to sheep. But I said, what a noisy bunch of sheep. We walked up the hill, about a mile up the hill, And I saw what David was describing in Psalm 23. Because there on top of the hill was an incredibly beautiful pasture, a green pasture. And it was surrounded by all these still waters. And I could not believe it. Having seen Bedlam at the bottom of the hill, I could not believe the serenity at the top of the hill. Here they were in the green pastures with the still waters, and everybody had fed themselves and had drank water, and they were there, everybody as peaceful. I could not believe the serenity. And this, as I appeared this week, I said, wow, God wants to talk to somebody, because some of you, having asked God to forgive you, you're still struggling, you're still worried, you're still flustered, you're still frustrated, and God wants you to enjoy the serenity of restoration. He wants you to just enjoy the green pasture and the still waters. He wants you to enjoy and come into full appreciation of a soul that has been restored by our great shepherd. He restores my soul. Hallelujah. And would to God that this morning you will take God at his word, and no matter what you have done, you will come to him this morning if you haven't done so before, and you will confess in sincerity and in truth. You will confess to him and let him know, God, my desire is to change and to please you, and that you will leave here enjoying the bliss of and the serenity of a restored soul. Thank God, our great shepherd, he provides satisfaction, he provides restoration, but thirdly, he provides guidance. And so here in Psalm 23, verse number 3, the Psalm David tells us, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, in the Middle East, the shepherd doesn't drive the sheep. As you see some shepherds driving the sheep, he leads them from in front. And that's what the Lord does. He leads us. But he only leads us in the paths of righteousness. He only leads us in the right path. So don't go around saying that he told you to buy that number in the lotto. And I beg you, please, if you decide to disobey God, because I want it to be very clear, playing the lottery is not God's way. Amen. He doesn't need you to win the Powerball to provide for you. Amen. I heard, hope somebody heard me. My God is perfectly able to provide for me without the Powerball. Amen. My friend, if you ever won that Powerball, please don't tell them when they're taping you. Don't say, I was at Germantown Christian Assembly. Don't tell them I was listening to Pastor Brian. And as he was speaking, God gave me the number. I beg you, don't do it. Because he ain't giving you no number. I hope somebody's with me this morning. Hallelujah. I'm so glad my shepherd provides. I haven't bought the Powerball yet. I haven't bought the lotto yet. And I have no intention of buying it. And I tell you, he provides. I haven't missed a meal. Hallelujah. I haven't missed a meal. And my Savior provides. Has he? Can he provide for you? Oh, some of you are struggling with that area of gambling. Oh, you're lined up for the bus to take you to Atlantic City. You don't need that. You got a Savior. And he's able to provide exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or think. Hallelujah. Just trust Jesus, because if you got Jesus, you got everything.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, A Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.